We believe that this is the inerrant word of the one and only true and living God. It is the only infallible rule for our faith and its practice. So hear now the word of our God from Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood. And these were thrown upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water, because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe! Woe! Woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Have you ever heard it said that our God is a consuming fire? That might be the best Third Day song that they ever wrote. It's thrown around a lot because it's such a memorable way of speaking. Our God is a consuming fire. It sticks in your brain. But what does that mean? Does it mean that God is very impressive? Well, sure. Does it mean that he is great in majesty? Yes. But also, what does fire do? It provides light, so that nothing is hidden when you hold up the fire to see. Nothing is hidden from our God. Not only does fire provide light, it also purifies. It's why God speaks in Scripture of purifying his people like silver tried in a furnace of fire, which isn't a very fun experience for the silver being heated up to the point where it melts and then all the impurities rise to the top and have to be scraped off. But what else does fire do? I had a fire pit last night at my house. And you know, everything I threw into that fire pit was consumed. All of it. There's just a pile of ash there where there used to be wood. See, this is what our God does. Nothing is hidden from him. His eyes go to and fro through all the earth, and he knows everything. And also, he purifies his people, making them holy in his sight. and he consumes the wicked in his wrath. And we've seen the purifying part of that over the last several chapters of Revelation, right? As the seals were opened. Let's remember what the seals were. It was the decree of God Almighty to finally undo what Adam had done in the garden. I was going to say what the serpent had done, but that would be absolving Adam from the guilt that he has. But all that was made wrong in the garden, God was finally going to fix with this decree that was sealed with seven seals. And as the Lamb who was slain and in so doing conquered opens the seals, what did we see? Well, Christ went forth to conquer. How did he conquer? With the word of the gospel. And yet, wherever Christ went, persecution followed. That persecution took two forms. There was the red horse that had the sword that would put God's people to death. And then there was the black horse that would make life really difficult for them. A quart of wheat for a denarius. 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not touch the oil and the wine. It was economic hardship that the black horse brought. Then all of this was happening in a sinful, fallen world. That's what the pale horse indicated. There would still be war. There would still be sickness. There would still be suffering brought about by the fall, even as Christ was going out and conquering. And the saints under the altar cried out to God, "Oh Lord, how long? Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see what the red horse and the black horse are doing? Why are you leaving things like this?" And they are told to wait a little longer. When the sixth seal was opened, we saw the very heavens falling, right? The stars fall from the heavens and the sky rolled up like a scroll. This was the final judgment. But then the vision backed up a little bit and showed us that before that happens, God had sealed his people, had protected them from judgment, and finally brought them to the throne. They made it out of the great tribulation. They were purified. They had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then, like a movie where there's a pause in the action and a flashback happens. Now we're back to the main narrative. We're back in the throne room. John is standing before that throne where the figure is seated that has the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And there are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder and the four living creatures shouting, "Holy, holy, holy." And the Lamb who was slain, who is seated on the throne, opens the seventh seal. This is the final culmination. This is the completion of God's decree to set all things right. And there is silence. Why is there silence? Well, this is a case of Occam's razor. Don't look for too complicated of an explanation. There is silence because there is awe at God's judgment. The majesty of God, the power of God has even made the four living creatures stop. The elders no longer cast their crowns before the throne. There is silence for a long time. If I stop talking for 2 or 3 seconds, gets kind of awkward, doesn't it? Imagine being in the throne room and no one says a word for a half hour. I actually think I can relate to this a little bit. When I was about 12 years old, we were driving back from Nashville. My sister and I were competing in state competition, which you don't really need to know what that was. I was playing my saxophone. She was playing her flute. We were playing solos, trying to win awards and stuff. And we're coming back from Nashville, and my dad, who my parents were 40 at this time, just that's a relevant part of the story. Around Crossville, he tells us, "You guys, your mom's going to have another baby." My sister said, "That's not funny." And he said, "I'm not joking." And nobody said a word until we were home. That was the most awkward, just like painful silence for that whole ride. And yet here, no one dares break that silence because they can't. Because God's power and majesty is such that they are left speechless. It's safer to be like Isaiah and put your hand over your mouth because you are in the presence of the Lord of hosts. Finally, the silence is in a way broken when an angel comes and stands before the altar with a golden censer. We've seen incense in this throne room in the past, and it represented, we saw, the prayers of the saints. Here it says, another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. William Hendrickson makes the case that this is the intercession of Christ added to the prayers of the saints. That the saints cry out day and night, "Oh Lord, how long? How long are we going to have to live in this world that is characterized by the opposition of those who do not believe and the effects of sin all around us? And yes, you have promised to bring us out of this one day, but oh Lord, how long is that going to take?" And God's people keep praying and praying and praying, and sometimes they don't know how to pray as they ought. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit, Paul says, intercedes for the saints with groanings too deep for words. And Christ ever lives to make intercession for his people, and it is all offered before the throne of God. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Now it's time for those prayers to finally be answered. So the angel took the censer and filled it with fire and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. How long? Not forever. These prayers will be answered, and God is answering them even now. For these seven trumpets that are about to blow are not yet the final judgment, and yet they are still an answer to those prayers. Remember, a trumpet is an announcement of judgment. It is a warning. And so this is a warning to the wicked and an encouragement to God's people. It is a warning to the wicked to repent before it is too late. And it is an encouragement to God's people that God has not forgotten you. And so these trumpets would be roughly synchronous, happening at the same time as seals 1-4. So that as the world is opposing Christ as he is going out conquering, God is pouring out his judgment, his warning judgments, on the world. Now, we could get really into the weeds with each of these trumpets. My approach to Revelation is always to take a step back. Michael Horton once said, never get too hung up on the details that you miss the big picture. And while I think that there is a balance, there is a time to go into the weeds, here with apocalyptic literature, with this so obviously being symbolic language, I mean, a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the sea was turned to blood. A third, right? This is very clearly symbolic language. Does it work now? Hey, there we go. when this goes on the website, people are going to be like, what happened? Well, what do the trumpets mean? Well, the first trumpet is very clearly divine control over the environment. Right? Hail and fire mixed with blood. By the way, each of these also have callbacks to the Exodus plagues, because the plagues of the Exodus were a sort of prototype of divine judgment, and now this is the anti-type of divine judgment. But hail, the earth is burned up, a third of the trees are burned up, and the green grass is burned up. This is God's sovereignty over the environment. And so that can be seen today, right? There are all kinds of environmental concerns today. People are always worried about what is going to happen with the trees and the grass and things like that today. And this has been the case since Christ ascended. My favorite instance of this is, did you know that the French Revolution happened in part because of the weather? Because people didn't have food, because there had been such an extreme winter going into it that there was not enough grain to sell to people. That, John is saying, is all under divine control. God is sovereign over whether the crops grow or not. God is sovereign over whether hail falls or whether rain falls. The second trumpet, God is sovereign over the seas. Again, we can see this today. The seas are still a treacherous place to be. Just ask the people that tried to go down and look at Titanic. You remember that? A couple year and a half, 2 years ago? We can see this in history as well. When the Spanish Armada was going up against the English and the Spanish were much stronger, what did the Spanish king say? I sent my ships to fight against the English, not against the winds and the waves of God. So the environment is under divine control. The sea is under divine control. Sustenance itself is under divine control. Because God in the third trumpet hurls a stone to the earth, and even the very water itself is made bitter and people die. And the fourth and final trumpet, the cosmos itself is under divine control. Now, there seems to be a shift, just for what it's worth, between trumpets 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. 1 and 2 seem to be very concrete realities. 3 and 4 seem to be sort of above that. But the biggest takeaway from these four trumpets is that they're just the warm-up. They are the warning. Repent now before it is too late. That's why the eagle, the bird of prey, comes flying over and warns everyone. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. You think a third of the earth being burned up is bad? Wait till Christ returns and sits in judgment. You think the third of the sea and the sea creatures and the ships, then all of that is bad? Wait until you're saying to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Repent before it is too late, because that seventh seal, it's been opened. And God will set all things right. The saints that have been sealed, they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But to the wicked, who refuse to repent, who oppose God and his word, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. And all the while, God's people wait. We're still waiting. We're still crying out, how long? But you know what? Our God is true to his word. Our God will set all things right. And thanks be to God, we need not fear the woes that the eagle cries out at the end of this chapter, for we have been sealed, as we saw in the previous chapter. And one day we will gather around God's throne and be before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter us with his presence. We will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike us by day, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd. And he will guide us to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. For Christians, this is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray.